The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
This is I Should Be Writing, Season 17, Episode 27.
Hey everyone, I'm Brent Lambert, guest editor for Escape Pod's Black Future Month special event. Submissions have been extended till the end of April, and I'd love to see what you have. So if you had a new story you were wanting to start, or you were close to finishing one, now is the time. Find all the details at escapepod.org. Looking forward to seeing your submissions.
Anyway, this is I Should Be Writing. It's the podcast for wannabe fiction writers. I'm your host, Mer Lafferty. I am a podcaster and novelist and streamer and gamer and dog lover and worrier and... yeah, I did wear a lot of hats. And I stream this show live on Tuesdays and Thursdays, and then it appears in my podcast feed over at merverse.com. So that's where you are right now. So I was looking through the news. I'm still trying this new format, so it's still a little rusty, especially because often I avoid news for mental health. A lot of despair and a lot of there's nothing I can do about all the terrible stuff in the world tends to hit me. I wish I were one of those people that get galvanized and angry and like, let's fix something. But no, not really. So what I wanted to do is talk about like publishing news or science fiction news, and that's harder to do when you don't pay attention to the news. But the news is still the fact that the Hugo finalist announcements came out, and everybody's very excited. Well, people who are nominated are very excited, and some people are very excited for them. I've been on the not nominated, not excited side of the fence, so pretty sure there's people out there who are not excited. But I'm really second-guessing everything I say this morning, so you're welcome! I am very happy with some of the Hugo nominations, partly because... I want to say it started with clipping, but I'm sure it started before then. I haven't looked too much into the Hugo history, but it felt like in the last decade at least that people started to look at things that are not specifically science fiction media or the science fiction media that we're used to. For example, there have been at least 3 award acceptance speeches that have been nominated. One of them won last year. They were nominated under Best Related Work because their speech was so devastating or awesome or funny, in the case of my friend Ursula, that people wanted to recognize it. We were able to get a nomination for clipping for their hip-hop music. Splendor and Misery and The Deep both got nominated for long form and short form dramatic work, I think. Anyway, this year it's vastly different, where Related Work, I think, only has 2 books in it. It's got a new translation of Beowulf, and it's got a book about Octavia Butler. But then there's Conzeal and Fringe, which was programming put together by some people in Europe. Alistair Stewart, Marguerite Kenner, Claire Russo, Sharon Morgan, and I don't think I can remember the fifth person, I'm sorry. But they were thinking WorldCom was happening in New Zealand and nobody could... Not nobody. People in Europe and in the Americas were having trouble, just time zones. And so they, like, got some pros together to do, like, Zoom calls and chats and talk about some con-like stuff, and they called it Con Zealand Fringe. That got nominated. The magazine Faya has been nominated for Semi-Prozine, but also they've put on their own Faya Cons. I think thus far it's only been virtual? I'm not sure. I'll have to check that out. But last year's FiaCon got nominated for Best Related Work, which was amazing. And what I really appreciate right now, and it's funny because I'm admiring people doing this, but I don't feel like I'm doing it enough. But people are looking at media on a much larger, broader venture. And they're saying, this thing that happened in science fiction is wonderful. It moves the genre forward and it needs to be recognized. So we're getting things that serve fandom as a whole, events that serve fandom as a whole, getting nominated for Hugos, which is just amazing. I'm actually wondering, just because I'm pessimistic, I'm wondering if anybody's going to come to the business meeting and complain that Related Work is supposed to be a nonfiction book instead of everything that's been nominated as Related Works. And if they do that, then someone's going to come up with a miscellaneous category, which will be really ugly to try to define. I hope that doesn't happen. But anyway, I am very excited to check out some of the fiction that I had not read. There's some names in there that are appearing every year, and I'm a lot of pretty amazing shorter fiction writers that you should definitely check out. With my stuff, yesterday I stopped fretting and actually got out the Save the Cat beat sheet and plotted out my novella. And the good news is, I made it so that I wrote the most detailed outline I've ever done. And when I look at this outline, I feel confident that I can write a novella from this. There's not a lot of empty parts. You know, there's the middle part, what Save the Cat calls fun and games, that's kind of broad. I don't have a whole lot of detail about what's going to go on in there, but I know in general. And the bad news is, this will be the most thorough rewrite I will have ever done. I'm writing it from the ground up. I'm not even looking at the last draft, because I have two characters in a situation as the same, but everything else is different. It's like where they go, who they interact with, the detailed things that happen. That's all going to be different. A couple of characters are being written out, a couple of characters are being added. It's strange because it feels like the same story, because it's still, you know, these two characters figuring out about resistance messages being passed through children's television, but the actual story about them finding out and what they do about it is completely different. So I got about 2,600 words written this morning on that, which, considering it's a 20,000 word novella, I'm pretty happy with that pace. It's hard to say when you start that that's the pace you're going to be able to maintain the whole way through, but I hope so. So that is what's up with me. I think the name of it, so far the working title is great. It's Italian. I had to make it something that was not easily to remember in English. Hang on. Talk amongst yourselves. Okay. Fantaccini's Shadow is what I'm calling it. I hope I said that right. If I end up being the narrator, I'm definitely going to have to figure out if I said that right. But it was a good feeling. It's... Well, that's why we're talking about that today on the show, which is imposter syndrome. It's always there. But before we get to that, I want your yays. If you are listening to this later, please email me and tell me that you have good news, if you have good news. Those of you in the chat, if anybody wants to share their good news while I get something ready, please go ahead. And someone has chosen Mirror Universe, so we have to summon the evil Myrrh. I have to peel the adhesive off the mustache. Okay. I like this one. That's good. All right. Mirror Universe Myrrh coming up. Number 3. Evil Myrrh says, follow agents to the bathroom at conventions. That's the best time to pitch your book. To make a stronger point, steal all the TP from the bathroom before you do this, so they will be at your mercy. Aw, that's behind me now. That loses its humor. Oh well. The words that just popped up are supposed to say, don't listen to Evil Myrrh because she's evil. It's in the name. So, take that advice as you like or don't like. Don't take that advice. But yes, you may spend channel points to summon Evil Myrrh. Pick a number from 1 to 10 and she will give you advice. If this ever gets used on a more regular basis, I'll add more numbers and more terrible advice. So anyway, news. Underpope started outlining a new short story. Feel good about it. Yeah, this whole, like, outlining thing is... I feel like it's up there with flossing. It's like you resist it for so long because you don't like it. But once you start doing it, it's like, oh, that does work. Does anybody else know about this? It's amazing. So, congrats, Underpope, of the outline. Well done. So, that's the news part. Let's see. What I'm reading, I stopped reading what I was reading because I was feeling a little squirrely about where it was headed, and I looked up reviews, and Goodreads can be a hive of scum and villainy and a pit of despair, but one thing Goodreads gives you that I can't find anywhere else is people willing to spoil books in their reviews. And some of them remember to put it behind cuts or behind spoiler redacted tags, but I was able to look and see if people mentioned the thing I was afraid was going to happen, and yeah, it looked like the book was definitely going in a direction that I would not have enjoyed. So I put that book down and started reading Beneath the Rising by Premi Mohammed. Her next book just came out, her second book in that series, so I'm starting on the first book, and so far it's really good. It's some creepy science fiction stuff. So, enjoying that, but in the time of award season, and I don't know about you, but I'm starting to feel that slight energy of coming out of the pandemic, and maybe we can remove whatever limitations that the pandemic has put on us. And a lot of those limitations are, you know, mental health and focus and happiness and confidence and the kind of thing that makes you go out and try to start a new creative career. So I wanted to address imposter syndrome again because it's real and it's there. And everybody I know has it. Yeah, pretty much everybody I know When Ursula Vernon got her first Hugo nomination, she was pretty sure it was spam, or a trick, or something. And she'd already been, like, very well-published children's author. She's, you know, very frequent guest of honor invitee and stuff. So everybody feels it. And everybody thinks that nobody else feels it, because we all try to act confident while feeling like small, cowering moles inside. Or at least I do. But other people don't see the small, cowering moles. They see the outward face of the confidence. And so they think, I'm the only one who doesn't deserve to be here. The Hugo nominees are talking together on a Slack, and we discuss those of us who are nominated as part of a team, like semi-prozines, fan casts, fanzines, those kinds of groups. And inevitably, some people feel like the team is on the ballot in spite of them, not because of them. Like, I am the stone everyone else wears around their neck. And that's not true. There's the feeling of... I can't articulate it very well, but it's like the opposite of the Dunning-Kruger effect. The Dunning-Kruger effect is the incompetent people don't know enough to know that they're incompetent. Or as, what was it? Einstein said, a fool thinks he's wise and the wise man knows he's a fool, I think. Anyway, most people who think, I'm terrible at this, that's actually, if you break it down, that's a nuanced look. Because what you're doing is you're looking at what you contribute, and you're looking at other contributions in the field, and you're questioning how they are compared to each other. Now, granted, a lot of people are always going to think that what they create is worse, and they're probably wrong. But the thing is that the fact that you take the time to try to assess all of that means you understand what's going on more than you think you do. And it's kind of like, am I the jerk no one wants at their party? Well, if you can look at yourself and your behavior and think, is this jerk behavior? Jerks don't do that. That's part of what makes them jerks. They just think they're just fine. And if anybody has a problem with them, it's them. So one thing imposter syndrome is it is self-doubt. But it's also more nuanced in that it shows that you are looking carefully at the field you're contributing in, and you're looking at what's there, and you're looking at your own stuff, and you find yourself lacking, but then you notice that a lot of other people aren't finding you lacking. I don't know, this is why I don't have an NPR show. I'm still feeling like I'm not getting my point fully across, because it doesn't sound good to my head. But that could also be exactly what we're talking about. Just, if you care enough to look objectively at whatever you're worried about, whatever, then things are probably better than you think they are. Because people who are truly terrible usually don't make an effort to get better. And that's in the way they act or what they create. They think what they have is just fine. And if you don't like it, you're the problem. But imposter syndrome is a rabbit hole that people don't really like. It's a terrible rabbit hole to go down. It can have so many different views. I mean, my last original book, if you don't know my writing, I wrote some urban fantasy, and then I wrote science fiction, and then I wrote two books in licensed intellectual properties that are not my own, Star Wars and Minecraft. But the book before that, got a lot of attention. It got a lot of award nominations. And now I'm working on another original science fiction book. And I can't take the success that was Six Wakes and ride it. Because what it does is it looms over me like, this was the fluke. And if it wasn't a fluke, this was the peak of your career. And you'll never match it. So, that's not good. And logically, I know it's ridiculous. I mean, I am improving as a writer. I know people whose first books did so well that they were petrified with regards to their second book. And the thing is, we often spend years and years writing that first book before it sells. And then they say, okay, well, then we'll put out your second book in about 18 months. And you're like, but the first one took me years and years. And then suddenly the second one doesn't take as long. But that doesn't apply here, but that happens a lot in second book syndrome things. It's, they don't give you nearly as much time. They want to put your book out and then they want to put the sequel out. So again, I have the bad news that this thing you're feeling that kind of makes you want to die inside when you think of how everybody else is perfect and achieving so much and you're not, it doesn't really go away. But the good news is everybody feels it. And once you know it's a normal feeling, you can try to deal with it. I mean, one thing I try to do is look logically at what I've accomplished in my career so far. And, you know, I may feel like I'm not self-confident. I don't feel like my writing has the nuance or punch or beautifully constructed sentences or heart-stopping plots or whatever as any number of people I could name. But objectively, looking at the things that I have written and the things that I've accomplished, it looks pretty good on paper. It does. I can't deny that. So, this is another reason I have the yay button. And I want to use it when y'all get stuff like rejections. Because even when you get rejections, I'm going to keep saying it until somebody believes me, is that you're a working writer when you get a rejection. And so when you say you've gotten so many rejections, you might think you're telling someone, I'm a terrible writer. What you're also telling them is, you're a pro who knows how to do the job, and you're doing your part. Your part of the job is to write the story and submit the story. You're doing your part. Now you just need to find someone to do the other part. And that's what submitting is. And that's what you're doing. So, you know, if you're saying, yammer, but I don't have anything published, but if you're trying, if you're working at it, then that's accomplishment. And there are people who think that they could. They think this is easy, and they think that they could, but all they need is a little bit of time. You are achieving more than they are. There are people who are too scared. Like I was several years ago. I'm not gonna deny it. I don't want to make you feel bad right now if you're listening or watching and saying, okay, but I'm not trying, so clearly I'm garbage. That's not the case either, because we've probably all had a time where we felt crappy. Either depression or exhaustion or life was too demanding of our mental energy or physical energy. And we thought, this is never going to happen. And you can get past that. You can. So, if your accomplishment is, yesterday I started a story, that's an accomplishment. Because that is something that a lot of people don't do. However you feel that you're in a group of a whole bunch of wannabe writers, you're in a group of a whole bunch of wannabe writers who are trying. There's a whole bunch who think this is easy, but they don't do it because they know it's not. They know it's not easy. They think writing's easy because it's putting sentences on paper, and you speak sentences all the time, so... And, you know, when you tell stories to your friends, they laugh, so... You know how this thing goes. I'm kind of going all over the place. And this is for everybody else. I've connected the Discord for the Patreon supporters to Twitch. So if you subscribe via Twitch, but not Patreon, you can still look at the Discord. I'm not entirely sure how it works. So if you, because I just know that Discord allows it. I don't know if I have to send out an invite or what, but if you're a subscriber on Twitch and not on Patreon and you want into the Discord, just let me know and I'll send you an invite. If you join us on twitch.tv/mightymur Tuesdays and Thursdays, you can be part of the live stream. Or if you support the Patreon, you can keep listening as we talk with chat and discuss more things. So that's patreon.com/mightymur. So there's a way to continue the discussion for free. There's a way to listen to the discussion later with a little bit of support. So my blog and show notes are at murverse.com. Support the Patreon, patreon.com/mightymur. And the Twitch is twitch.tv/mightymur. And that's, I stream 4 days a week. I Should Be Writing is Tuesdays and Thursdays. Thank you all. Take care, y'all. Remember, you can support the show at patreon.com/mightymur. I Should Be Writing theme music provided by John Anilio. You can find more about him at johnanilio.com. This podcast is distributed under a Creative Commons Attribution Share Alike license. It's on TV.